As I said in the introduction, my brothers and sisters, what we celebrate today began 9 months ago. You see in the image, the stained glass window there, the angel Gabriel speaking to Mary, the invitation for her to conceive in her womb a savior for the world. We learn something very special about this savior. There are many ways in which we could imagine God coming and redeeming his people, God restoring that breach that took place in the fall, the tearing apart of creation from its creator. The angel's message, I don't want to mess it up because it's so good. Let me get it from last night. First, the angel says to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord." It is that last part, my brothers and sisters, that we, in our vocabulary, in our language for the church, we take for granted what the angel was revealing to the shepherds. The shepherds knew, just as everyone else in the Jewish community knew, that this was the time of the Messiah. They had done the math. The book of the prophet Daniel foretold that this was the time. They calculated the number of years. At any day, at any month, the Messiah was to be born. Now, what would this mysterious Messiah look like? This Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ. What would he look like? How would he come? Would God send an angel in order to redeem his people? Would he raise up a human in order to redeem them? What is revealed in the proclamation of the angel to the shepherds is that the one whose birth we are foretelling is the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ. But he is also the Lord. The angel is declaring that this one who is born is God. He is God who has taken flesh, who has drawn to himself our humanity, our broken humanity, our darkened humanity, our torn humanity. We see that in the gospel of the vigil mass, as we go through the genealogy of Jesus' family tree, one after another, if you look up their stories, there is brokenness, there is sin. There is betrayal, there is murder, there is adultery. I don't want to list off all of the sins because, you know, just enough to get you excited to go read, all right? Jesus enters into all of that. Jesus, who is the Word of God, co-eternal with the Father. In the beginning, God made everything and he spoke and it came into being. Jesus, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Word of God spoken. Last night, the first Mass, I didn't have Jesus in the crib yet because, you know, obviously, you know, once Mass started, then we'll put Jesus in the crib. But, you know, all the families beforehand were coming up with the kids and they're like, oh, it's not there yet. Well, because he was sitting here on the altar. I had the book of the Gospels open, and I had the baby Jesus sitting in the opening of the Gospels so that we would understand he is the Word of God that has been proclaimed to bring forth all of creation. And now the Creator was placing himself into the hands of his creature and becoming one like them. This thing that began 9 months ago, my brothers and sisters, was the beginnings of our redemption. Why? Because the consequence of sin was the rupture between humanity and divinity, between God and our human family. And in Jesus Christ, in the incarnation, divinity and humanity are joined together in a way that they can never be separated again. Not mixed together like I've done some recipes where I'm like, well, I'll throw that in there and mix it up. And it's like, you know, the batter turns brown. And you're like, oh, that's not good. Everything got mixed all together. And then you lose all that beautiful texture and colors and all that stuff. I blended it too much. The mystery that we speak of is the divinity of Jesus that existed before all time, coming into union with his humanity in the womb of the Blessed Mother. We call that the hypostatic union. It's using Greek terms. It's a, you know, $20 word. It's a big one. In that hypostatic union, in the bringing together, that union in Jesus Christ, we celebrate that never again will a part of creation, never again will all of creation be separated from its God. There's a thing in the Navy, Navy facts, you know, I was in the Navy for 6 years. Naval ships, they're steel. Yet the island structure on the big aircraft carriers and the big ships is made of aluminum because it's really heavy and it's up there high. Aluminum and steel don't work well together. In order to make this possible, they take a sheet of steel and a sheet of aluminum and they put an explosive paste in between them and sandwich them together and then light it off in an explosion. And the explosion melds those two metals together in a bond that cannot be made any other way. And then they cut the piece out and they weld the steel to this side and they weld the aluminum to this side. They didn't tell us this, but that's so that if the ship takes a really heavy roll, it'll tear the island structure off and it'll fall into the water instead of sinking the ship. My shop was in the island. I didn't like to hear that, you know. But in Jesus Christ, my brothers and sisters, divinity and humanity are brought together. This is the beginning of it all, the beginning of the reconciliation of everything. That is why we say that salvation must come through Jesus Christ, because he is the bridge. He is the doorway. He is the place in which divinity and humanity have met, have kissed, have embraced in the womb of our Blessed Mother. That mystery is revealed to us today before our eyes. If you ever want to see some cool videos on YouTube, there are a lot of cool videos about women who have been struggling to conceive. And they, you know, record it and they take their pregnancy test, so it's negative and this and that. And their stories are laid out there, and all of a sudden, their first positive test after years, or when finally giving up, all of a sudden, naturally conceiving. And the emotion that comes in that moment of life. But even more so, we celebrate the birth, when we get to see the baby with our own eyes. God enters into our darkness to reveal a beauty that we cannot see apart from his light. Last night, as beautiful as the church was with all the things, you could not see the beauty of the windows because it was dark outside. My brothers and sisters, Jesus illuminates our humanity. And we are able to see in the events of our life, which before were just simply darkness and confusion and error. All of a sudden, the light of Christ shines, and we can understand the events of our life, just like these windows come alive when the light hits it. God entering into the darkness of our humanity as the light of the world, to bring meaning and beautiful. It was there all along. But it is obscured by sin and death and separation. When Jesus reveals, we are in awe. My brothers and sisters, it's interesting. What is the first thing the angel says to the shepherds? Hello, how are you doing? My name is Bill. Nice to meet you, right? Now, he says, do not be afraid. Imagine what the manifestation of the angels of God must have looked like in that shepherd's field that night, in the darkness, and all of a sudden, this awesome, burning, terrible messenger of God appears in fire and flame before them to announce a proclamation of great joy. And then the whole heavens are filled with hosts, a mighty army of angels declaring a song of praise to God. Do not be afraid. You see, my brothers and sisters, this is how God has always attempted to come to his people. In magnificence, in splendor, in theophany. When God reveals himself to his people after bringing them forth from captivity in Egypt, from slavery, crossing the Red Sea, he meets them on the mountaintop. And the encounter is so terrible for them that at the conclusion of it, they say to Moses, Moses, you go talk to him. We're done. We don't ever want to see that again. Because God in his greatness, the earth shook, the mountains, the things that are stable, trembled and melted before him. The whole of creation was having this violent reaction, kind of like my intestines when I eat too much good hot food. A violent reaction to what is before them. Sorry, I got a little personal there, but you get the point. Do not be afraid. The shepherds show up at the manger, and they don't see a mountain burning or melting or shaking. They see a baby. And my brothers and sisters, there is a whole nother kind of shaking that takes place. But it is not out here. It is right here. What does it mean that our God humbled himself to become one of us? Like our whole inside should reverberate and shake, and you say, wait a minute. This is how you were going to redeem us? No. The God of old that shook mountains and tore down walls and did all of these things. And yet he comes as a baby like us. It's almost a greater weapon, don't you think? Don't you think, you know, with all of the weapons, all of the things, all of the stuff that we are fearful of, and all of a sudden, he comes as a child, as a baby. The Creator puts himself into the hands of the creation. I do believe, my brothers and sisters, that there was fear and trembling on the part of the shepherds. But the shaking and the fear was the trembling of their hearts. Understanding the profound reality of what is taking place before their eyes. That the longed for Messiah, who has finally come, the anointed one of God, the Christ, as God himself. Emmanuel, God with his people. This is the ultimate revelation of God's love, my brothers and sisters, that will find its culmination upon the cross. And when the dead body of Jesus is laid in the earth, and it is wrapped in bands of cloth, just like his body lays in the manger today, in strips of cloth and swaddling clothes. We will be able to announce a proclamation of great joy as our Savior breaks open the earth and rises in victory over death. Jesus comes in our humanity not to shake the mountains, but to shake our hearts. Shake our hearts in love of God. That we would not put our hands up and say, we are not worthy to be near you. We don't want to see you. That he would come in humility so that we would draw close. So that we would draw him close to ourselves, exactly where he wants to be. And brothers and sisters, there's so much more, but there's a whole year ahead of us to talk about it. The great gift that is given to us of how we will participate in his incarnation, of how we will experience the grace of baptism and confirmation and the Eucharist, day after day, living in that reality of life. Merry Christmas, my brothers and sisters. Merry Christmas. You have to do absolutely nothing to make Christmas awesome or special. For everything has already been done. Praise the Lord. Amen.